Hello, Kenneth Vanderhorst here. Welcome to Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist. Each week, I chat with a guest about which songs they would have on their playlist if they were to spend a season in a remote cabin here in the Bulkley Valley. I hope you enjoy today's show on CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9. This station broadcasts from unceded Kasia territory of the Ginnamon Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Hello again and welcome to Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist here at CICK Radio. I'm your host, Kenneth Vanderhorst, and this week my guest is Perry Rath. Teacher, artist, advocate, friend, and family member, Perry has been pursuing projects in a variety of venues, collections, and publications. Doing so has caused him to take not a few different directions, encompassing installations, objects, artifacts, paintings, printmaking, collaborations, and education. Though having held exhibitions across Canada and in Australia, India, Germany, Britain, Russia, Hungary, and the U.S., he has made Smithers home and raised his family here over the past 20 years. An educator at Smithers Secondary School, his email sign-off includes this quote, "Art has the role in education of helping children become like themselves instead of more like everyone else." He not only helps many young people take steps towards careers in the art field, he also works with students as sponsor teacher for social justice and environmental advocacy and the Gender Sexuality Alliance. And now, through his Cabin Fever playlist, we get yet another creative expression to the way that Perry has become like himself. So welcome, Perry.
Well, thanks so much, Ken. It was great to be here with you for this.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on. And we're going to get to some of your music and talk through a number of the things that I shared in the introduction. But tell us first, what role does music play in your life?
Well, I'm not a music maker per se, but I've definitely always really loved music. I'm always very nostalgic with my music. So there's definitely points in my life where certain music helps to define what I was thinking about at the time. I listen to a lot of music. And then, of course, when I'm in my studio alone, sometimes I like to work quietly. I'll put on various bits of music just to help energize me or help get me in a certain frame of mind of focus or that kind of thing.
Well, real good. Well, we look forward to your playlist today. We're sending you off to a season of isolation at a cabin here somewhere in the valley and very limited technology. So the device that you get to play your playlist only gives you 7 songs. Tell us about the first one that you've picked.
Okay, Reflector by Arcade Fire. Been a fan of Arcade Fire's music since I first came across their first CD. My son Ari was born in 2006, and he was the kind of kid who, to get him to sleep, he didn't need a lullaby kind of soft music. And so I ended up realizing that I needed to like bounce him and dance him very vigorously. And so I always had Arcade Fire soundtracks on for that. And I got a chance. My dream was to actually bring both my boys to an Arcade Fire concert. And we happened to be in Toronto when that was happening. And I love the song Reflector because it talks a lot about all the different ways that we look at things in the world. And what are we looking at? True? Are we looking at the actual thing? Are we looking at a reflection of the actual thing? And so I find that really intriguing. And I love that that David Bowie was his favorite band for a while. And so he offered to do backup vocals on this song for them.
I'm not afraid. Thank you.
Reflector by Arcade Fire out of Montreal. Perry's first selection here, and yeah, what a track. Perry, when did you first come to the Valley here?
I first came through in 1998, I think. Yeah, I was living in southwestern Ontario. That's where I'm from. I decided that I needed to see the rest of the country. I'd been doing woofing in Australia a few decades prior to that. And woofing is willing workers on organic farms.
Okay.
And it's a program where you work, you kind of get room and board to work on these host farms. I tapped into it. And so then I came west because there were a lot of different woofing hosts in BC. And so I traveled all through BC. You know, I was helping make handmade soap down in the Kootenays for a while. And I just kept zeroing back up to the Bulkley Valley. And then I went back to Ontario, came back in 1999 to Smithers, and I helped paint some murals on the outside of this large, as part of the Gaia project Mike Simpson was running at the time. They were retrofitting an old school bus to be like a sustainable living center, and I painted murals on the outside of that. And then I got into the community very quickly and met my future wife and all that kind of stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You kind of were intentional about coming back to this place and had a great reason to stay put. And it's been almost 20 years now that this has been permanent home. What is it that you appreciate about living in this valley?
I've definitely loved the natural environment. And then, of course, just the community. Like, it's different than many other northern towns. Just the people around here. And, yeah, I've always felt very welcome. I mean, I ended up marrying into a very well-connected musical family, the Jenny family. So... I got to meet a lot of people that way. I just found my niche. I just enjoyed settling in here. You know, as a teacher, I'm obviously exposed to basically almost every kid in the valley, it seems, and therefore their families. And I enjoy lots of conversations across different ideological backgrounds or different perspectives. And I've always seen that that's a strong point of our valley.
We'll get to more of that, but first, your second selection. Which song would you have us play now?
I've chosen Galileo by the Indigo Girls. Again, I can listen to it many times and always get different things out of it. But it basically harkens back to that time in my life when I was exploring and finding things out about myself in relation to the world. Yeah, there's a few lines in this song that are really, really speak to me about everyone's journey in this life.
Galileo's head was on the block. The crime was looking up the truth. And as the bombshells of my daily fears explode, I try to trace them to my youth. And then you had to bring up reincarnation over a couple of beers the other night. And now I'm serving time for mistakes made by another in another lifetime. How long till my soul gets it right? Can any human being ever reach that kind of light? I call on the resting soul of Galileo. offer thanks to those before me. That's all I've got to say. 'Cause maybe you squandered big bucks in your lifetime. Now I have to pay. But then again, it feels like some sort of inspiration to let the next life off the hook. Or she'll say, look what I had to overcome from my last life. I think I'll write a book. How long till my soul gets it right? Many human beings reach the highest light. Except for Galileo, God rest his soul. King of night vision, king of insight. How long till my soul gets it right?
Till we reach the highest light.
Galileo by the Indigo Girls. It was the first of their songs to break any top 10 chart. Thank you for that one too, Perry. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about family life. You settled here. You married a local. How's family life here for you folks in the Valley?
Oh, it's great. I'm super happy to be raising my kids here. They've loved it. You know, lots of times people think that going to a smaller town, getting away from some opportunities that might be in a big city, but there's so many other positive aspects about growing up in a small town. You get to know so many folks around here. Your kids get to grow up knowing so many, seeing familiar faces around, understanding how to navigate themselves in a small town, and having easy access to nature. You know, we've done a lot of homeschooling for them, so they spent a lot of time outside for that portion of time of their life. We got involved with CICK as well. My kids and I, my boys and I, had a little radio show, which was fun to do, called Lightning Guitar Monsters here.
Oh, cool.
Something that they wouldn't have had an opportunity to do in a big city, probably. Who knows?
So even though it's a little bit off the beaten track, maybe in the art world, still for you, you've been able to develop a career. Work-life-wise, this hasn't been a hindrance to be here.
No, but that was a trepidation I had at first, too, as well, when I felt like that Smithers was the place for me to be with my wife to raise a family. My own doubts were like, am I leaving behind opportunities in the city where I could easily network and make connections? Keeping connected through the internet has definitely been a benefit of being here. And it provided a sense of like, here's a different perspective rather than the typical city artist kind of perspective kind of thing. So from my art point of view, like a lot of my art is definitely inspired by living here. And it wouldn't be where, you know, I'd be making something completely different if I wasn't living here. And the things that I do make with my own art are this environment and the people here and my interactions have hugely impacted my directions in art making. And then when I got into education, I found myself finding just a great niche for myself, being the art teacher at the Smithers Secondary School here and being able to provide a certain classroom environment for students that was fairly, you know, my goal is to make a place that was a creative workshop kind of studio space where kids could really learn about art making and what it meant to them.
We live in a northern town. It's a resource-based town. There's sometimes what comes with that is, I'll be blunt, less appreciation for the art world. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? How do you respond to people who say, oh, it's nice that you teach art, but what I really want for my kids or for my community is something else?
I do talk a lot about, to my students at the beginning of the year when I give my monologue about the importance of arts education in their lives and how they can apply what they learn in an art classroom to anything they do in life, whether they're become a mechanic or managing a feller buncher kind of thing, they'll start to look at things through an aesthetic lens, you know, and that will influence how they move through their own life. Arts education allows you to sort of think, I mean, even this phrase is a bit cliche, right? Think outside the box, think different ways of looking at how you can express yourself and how you can appreciate other people's expression of themselves. Going through art, an art program, going through an art process to understand themselves better, to allow themselves the liberation to learn about their own creative drive and what's their internal spark of motivation and inspiration. And then that can be applied to, yeah, anything that they end up doing in their life at all.
All right. Well, this brings us to your third selection. Which one is this?
A cover of Blondie's Heart of Glass, but not at all as you would expect it to be. It's by Elisa P., who is an Inuk singer, and she did a whole bunch. She did a whole album of different covers of songs from the 80s. So, of course, being someone who came of age in the 80s as a teenager, mm-hmm. I mean, I have my own connection to Blondie and Blondie's song Heart of Glass, remembering that time. And her reinterpretation of it in her own Inuktitut language is just so evocative. And so when I was choosing my list, I wanted songs that were both energizing, some songs that would sort of cover the category of energizing me and like things I could dance to in my cabin in the woods, but also ones that would allow me to be very introspective and just float along.
Simat by Elisa P. from Saluit, Quebec, Inuk rendition of Blondie's Heart of Glass. In order to translate it, she made the words say, "The heart has become fragile." That's how I was able to translate it. Well, we get to the point now in our episode where we do a shout out to a sponsor. And for this episode, we're going to do a shout out to Nature's Pantry, one of our gold sponsors here at CICK Radio. They're on First Avenue, 3859 First, phone number 250-847-3943. offering such a great range of products for those of us that are looking to get food and supplies that work well for us and our bodies. And a special shout out to them also, because they used to sponsor, Perry, your show called Lightning Guitar Monsters that you and your sons put on here. So thanks so much, Nature's Pantry, for supporting us and doing so for such a long period of time. Let's talk a little bit more, Perry, about work in the art world. I was thinking about how you've been in all kinds of places around the world. You're centered out of here, and this valley and this part of the world certainly has brought inspiration to your artwork. How does that get received in other parts of the world that are obviously very different than this part?
There was a lot of perceptions about like the big cities being where the art hubs, where there's all this action happening. But there's been a lot of shift towards understanding that there's other voices. You know, I definitely acknowledge the level of privilege I have being a white male artist and person in this world, even though I'm living in a rural environment and bringing that kind of voice to art establishments. I've seen the art establishment also start to understand the importance of diverse ranges of other people's experiences, how art reflects their experience, whether it's through race, through sexuality, through different levels of identity and gender and things like that. And so even though, yeah, again, being a white male artist could be at the top of the heap of the privileged pyramid. So I have artwork that's inspired by nature, but I also have ones that are inspired by people. So I try to bring that awareness into my artwork with when I do portraits of local indigenous youth, local queer youth. I've been able to try to leverage my privilege to sort of create a broader sense of what kind of voices are out there. So it's not just my voice that's being depicted in the art. Yeah, I try to bring a thoughtfulness like that to the art. And I see other places in the world are definitely, you know, appreciate these different perspectives. A Northern BC artist who wasn't born here and or raised here, but has chosen to come here. And what is it that speaks to me, whether it's the salmon or the mountains or the landscape or the people and the struggles that various people have had in trying to navigate our world, you know, colonial systems that are in place here, or the certain conventions that make it harder for people and certain margins to exist. Some of my artwork does have that socio-political kind of content.
What goes on in the workshop, in the classroom with the kids, and how do you coach that along?
So for many years now, I started off with the sort of classic way of teaching, where you sort of have a project and all the kids kind of do their own version of the same project. But then I quickly realized that students have, people in general, but you know, youth for sure, their drive was like, I really want to do something that's kind of my own thing. I realized like, I want to run this more like an open studio, like as if we're all artists in here and we all have different expressions to do. My role is basically I'm constantly circulating through the classroom, helping to facilitate kids' own artistic ideas. Sometimes they're inspired by something they see online and they want to do their own version of that, so it's related to pop culture. You know, I definitely use it like an art as therapy kind of approach as well for some students who feel like they're grappling with different things and they want to use art to explore their identity, explore any kind of side of themselves. They'll say like, oh, Mr. Rath, I've made this artwork, but don't take it the wrong way. Don't feel like I'm in a dark place. It's just that I'm exploring my shadow side or that kind of thing, right? So I definitely approach it in a nurturing kind of way where I'm trying to view their work as judgment-free as possible so that they can be open to not having to censor themselves, I guess. Mm. And in the process, they're learning skills. They're not necessarily realizing that they're learning how to shade better or how to draw an eye better if realistic work is what they want to do, or understanding color relationships and composition. I've tried to allow for a very diverse range of the way kids can apply themselves. And then obviously teaching everyone just by example and that kind of thing, like the idea of respecting each other, which is not only like, so you're not only in there to learn how to express yourself, but how to appreciate other people's personal expressions of themselves. As I was like undertaking this kind of direction, feeling very nervous, but I've ended up receiving a number of different awards over the years. So I guess I I've seen the way now that the way the B3 Ministry of Education is going with self-directed learning and with understanding neurodiversity, I'm validated.
You're drawing out our humanity and helping us appreciate who we truly are and who we truly can be. And so I wonder now if this fourth song is maybe selected in part with that mission in mind, because it is about family, generational things that we carry. Tell us about this fourth selection.
Yeah, exactly. It is very much connected to that, because I first heard this song in my classroom. I definitely see the relationship between music and art making. So I often had students choose playlists. And I remember when this song came up, it really captured me. And so I got to look into it a little bit more. Yeah, it talks about how all of our families bring different layers of our identity to each generation, but we can take only what you need from what layers are coming at you from your family, kind of thing. This song, it also has a really catchy, it's an amazing catchy beat. Mm-hmm. And so me and my family would often have spontaneous dance parties to this song as well.
Show yourself.
Kids by MGMT out of Connecticut, a song used so often as background music for video games, films, TV shows. Perry, how do you kind of breathe and let go a little bit after the intensity of the work and working with others, with students, and even in your own workshop for your own sake in your world?
My family is super important, so lots of just doing activities with my kids is woven into what I do, and that's what I do for fun too, I guess, whether it's sporting activities with them, like skiing, either cross country or downhill, or hiking, going for walks, doing little trips with them, that kind of thing. I just did an amazing trip with my son, my oldest son, Ari, since he finished high school, down to LA. And so that was super fun for us both to be there together.
What were you up to in Los Angeles?
Well, since he's very sports oriented, the goal was to see as many kind of basketball and soccer games as possible.
Okay.
So we got to see a Lakers game. We got to see a Clippers game. And then for soccer, we went to see the LA football club team. And then when we were down there, Ari was also like, you know, I want to make sure, Dad, that we see things that you want. So we went to art galleries and we went to different parts of the city to see some of the amazing graffiti. And we biked along, you know, rented bikes to go along Venice Beach. And we hiked up Hollywood Sign, you know, it was just a great father-son trip for sure.
Tell us about your fifth selection.
Yeah, so my fifth selection actually comes from that trip in L.A. Ari and I went to see this musician, Mero. He's a young L.A. musician, actually, just sort of on the rise, it seems. Ari wanted to buy tickets for me to a music show. I was like, we wanted to go to a small classic venue where we could see an up-and-coming musician. We chose Mero, and it was an amazing show. His music, yeah, really speaks to me that. So this song, Coastline, particularly talks about looking ahead to the future, and since this was kind of Ari's grad trip to L.A., you know, it was sort of like, what's on the horizon next for young lives like his?
You don't go to run for me. You got nothing left to hide. More than perfect, you're unique. We were born to be bold in this life.
Line by Mero. One writer says it's such a warm call to leave our fears behind and pursue what makes us happy. Perry, what are some things about this world that you'd like to change? Where is it that you find yourself pouring your passions to make a difference?
Yeah, I guess through my own art and through my social activism and community engagement, it's often just related to issues of equity, I suppose. We've somehow over generations created these systems which have oppressed certain people. Since I was a youngster, I had this lens for fairness. So yeah, there's lots that I would love to change, especially in the world today. But some of the things I've been involved with over the years, for sure, have all been related to, let's see, well, there's indigenous issues, the Oka crisis, and there was an Iprawash situation where a young fellow named Dudley George was shot and killed. And I joined up with a group called CASNIP, Canadian Alliance of Solidarity with Native Peoples at the time. And so I was sort of a court observer during that trial, just observe how it was proceeded in terms of Dudley George's death, murder, I can say, I guess. Yeah, early university sort of really got me understanding about how these systems, how we need to, as citizens, need to be involved, not only on a one-to-one level, like talking to people and showing care and empathy for people, but helping to figure out how these systems have been created, how to dismantle them, how to critique them. Obviously, I've had a certain vein of my art that relates to this, but also, yeah, my community involvement is related to this as well. Coming here to Northern BC, I've been involved with various Indigenous rights issues here with the Wet'suwet'en, resource extraction-based projects that I've had critiques about and been involved with organizing awareness campaigns for that. Of course, all issues are very complex because there's obviously, you cannot make generalizations about any particular population, right? There's going to be multiple people within every population who will see benefits of different things. So again, it comes down to dialoguing with people, not to ostracize or alienate people. Yeah, it's such a grand sweeping thing. And as we move through our world today and see how issues get compounded, I guess, you know, in some ways I can say it all comes down to different levels of capitalism, of like controlling land, controlling people. You know, I haven't even talked about 2S LGBTQ related issues, which has been a big focus of my life as well, because I've had queer friends who I've seen struggle with different things in society, with discrimination and hatred. Why can't everyone be perceived as equal? Why can't everyone have their own chance to live a life where they can fulfill who they are and feel safe and have the same opportunity as everybody else has?
How do you keep going? How do you keep hope alive as you wade into things that for a lot of people we would say, oh, is it really worth it?
Yeah, definitely there are times when things don't feel very hopeful, where they feel like things are breaking down faster than you can try to change them. Yeah, interesting, the quote you found for the translation of Heart of Glass is, "The heart has become fragile," from the earlier song by Elisa P. And definitely I feel a fragility in myself. And I think that kind of is important as a human, to feel where you are breaking open. But and feel how you can look in someone else's eyes and think you deserve more, you deserve better, you deserve equal. I guess it's by seeing people like that, that's what keeps my hope alive.
Well, tell us now about your sixth song, because somehow I think this one too is related to this passion of yours.
Bruce Cockburn, "Lovers in a Dangerous Time." So Bruce Cockburn, obviously, his songs tackle a lot of social justice and environmentalism. You know, when I think of my own formative times as a youngster, Bruce Cockburn, definitely listening to his songs helped spark that in me, for sure. With a lot of these musical selections I have, it's hard to choose just one song from each of these musicians, but I chose "Lovers in a Dangerous Time" for a few reasons. There's a line in this song that I know that has been my mantra for a long time. It's got to kick at the darkness till it bleeds daylight. I've used this mantra not only for myself personally in my own studio, my own private studio, when I'm having a hard time figuring out my next move on an art piece, to larger social justice issues as well, is that you have to keep doing that.
Bruce Coburn's Lovers in a Dangerous Time. Well, Perry, we've talked a lot about life here in the Valley and the roles that you play and your perspectives on it. What would you miss the most if you had to move away from here?
Yeah, like whenever I have gone on trips somewhere, you know, it's always nice to be exposed to new, exciting stimulation, but I always love coming back here. And sometimes it's hard to put my finger exactly on what I would miss, but yeah, definitely. I mean, again, what drew me here in the first place is the natural environment, just the mountain ranges here, the particular kind of wideness of our valley and the special orientation of the valley. I mean, when I first came here, I ended up talking with Joe Lorca a lot at one point, and he was telling me about all these little power spots in the valley that he often went to. And I definitely feel there's power spots here that keep drawing me back here. So I would miss those. And then just, we've built up over the last 20 years, you know, a great community of people that we love to share our lives with. And then just seeing all the, you know, having been a teacher and seeing students grow up and start their own families over the last couple of decades, I just would miss seeing all these people I know again.
Which mountain range do you want to have a view of for this time of isolation?
So it was a toss between the Telkwa Range and the Babine Range, mostly because I'm familiar with the Telkwa Range, and it'd be nice to sort of maybe view it for a bit. But the power spots that I've loved and I've visited have been in the Babine Range. So I think I'd want to be close to that so I could hike in there and be there.
We're going to place that cabin right next to those Babines so you can enjoy that. We do let you take one download with you as well. So what's that going to be, a show, a movie, or a book?
I really loved reading The God of Small Things by Arundhati Roy many, many years ago with my wife. We read it to each other. I was tossed up between that and Life of Pi. And I wasn't sure which I should go for. That was another book that my wife and I read to each other. But I think I would go with Arundhati Roy's book, The God of Small Things. Arundhati Roy has gone on to be quite a powerful voice from India about social justice-related issues. And so I've definitely followed her along on her developments as well.
All right, so you're going to get that book as a download for you as well. This brings us to your last song. Which one's that going to be?
I've chosen Oliver Schroer, A Song for All Seasons. My wife and kids have all been in the Valley Youth Fiddlers, and I helped to manage the video animation projections on some of their shows. We've come to really love Oliver Schroer. We got some exposure to him before he passed away, but this song encapsulates so much emotion. I could listen to this again and again, and I love these songs that are nostalgic and that bring me close to my fragile heart. Thank you.
Song for All Seasons, Oliver Schroer from Toronto. Thank you, Perry, for that final selection. Well, before I send you away to a season of cabin isolation with your songs, with your download, looking at the Babine Mountains, you get to take a luxury item with you. What do I make sure is going to be there with you?
It would be a selection of paints and paper or canvases so that I could, even if I had to use, collect my own water and figure out how to wash my brushes, but I'd love to be able to still paint while I was there in the cabin.
I'm not surprised to hear it. Sounds like your luxury item is an essential item for you. It's been great to have you here, Perry, so thanks so much for being with us on Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist.
I was grateful to be here, Ken, with you. Thanks.
Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist is produced by me, Kenneth Vanderhorst, with the help of the good folks here at CICK Radio. The theme song is Summer Side of Life by legendary Canadian singer-songwriter Gordon Lightfoot. Thanks, listeners, for being with us, and don't forget to enjoy the beautiful scenery and amazing people you see all around you here in the Bulkley Valley.